title of a hymn, and my associate's favorite hymn, Brother Sammy Madison. Sometimes he would mention this song with a teardrop coming out of his eye. But it is a true statement. And I am a living witness that God will take care of you. But I'm not the only one. There are many saints down through the years who have this testimony. That's why the person wrote the hymn in the first place. Because it was the testimony of many saints. God will take care of you. Those words are to comfort your heart, and no matter what you might be going through. I am here to remind you that God will take care of you. This is part two, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 542, since January the 20th, 2017, on the way to 1,000, if the Lord should tarry his coming, and if he allows me to live all the way through the first term of President Trump. And oh, we, first of all, at the church, we need it. We need to be reminded that our main calling is to proclaim the gospel, and we need to be busy about that. And I'll share more with you about that in a minute. And then day 909 since January the 1st, 2016, I want to again thank all of our friends on multiple Facebook Live accounts and multiple Periscope accounts live with us, and then Spreaker Live, Gospelite House of Prayer Live, Gospelite Society Live, Go to Church Online Live, and GLB and TV Live, and other outlets. We thank God for your presence. If you have any difficulties getting connected, please email our technician and he will fix you right up. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 as we read the words of Jesus, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? God will take care of you. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? God will take care of you. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? God will take care of you. And why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. God will take care of you. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God will take care of you. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? God will take care of you. Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Don't you worry about a thing. God will take care of you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Holy Father God, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the power of the gospel. Thank you for giving us the ability and the mind to hear your holy word. Have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us as Christians, those who believe in Christ and who are truly born again, and forgive us and cleanse us of all of our sins as we from our hearts by your grace forgive others. And Lord, we pray that you would fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the freedom and the liberty, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word and to hear your holy word all around the globe. While some are being slammed with typhoons and others hurricanes and others earthquakes, and Christians are being persecuted in China and in Nigeria and around the world, we pray that you comfort all of these people. And Lord, if they can tune in, help them to do that, to get a word from the Lord and some encouragement from your holy word on this Monday. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts from this place and from your people. Place, Lord, upon us the whole armor of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels and the wall of your holy fire. And once again, give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and Judas's and enemies. And Lord, glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, after preaching the gospel every day for 367 days straight throughout the 2016 presidential campaign season, and preaching the gospel every day throughout the first 100 days of President Donald Trump's term, I am preaching the gospel for 1,000 days by the grace of God, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live throughout the president's first term. If you think a new president being in office is the only thing needed to save America and make America great again, if you will, you are woefully deceived. The church must follow through and keep the main thing the main thing, and that is reaching unbelievers with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and praying for their salvation. For the problem in America is not only disobedient presidents, lying politicians, and disobedient people, but disobedient pastors, disobedient preachers, and disobedient parishioners who have refused to simply obey the Lord's great commission, which is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and who have refused to obey God's repeated commands to pray without ceasing for unbelievers, believers, and political leaders. Quite frankly, the failures in America are not political, they are spiritual, all day long, every day of the week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all day long. So we encourage you to pray for our new president, but not to get caught up in the political happenings like the world does. For nothing much is going to change until people get saved and get their hearts right with the Lord. And that is what this campaign is all about, the Just Jesus campaign. This campaign is inspired by the following three verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, which says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Acts 5:42 says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." And 2 Timothy 2:4, which says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be," and the key word is "chosen him to be a soldier." And so, ladies and gentlemen, this series is not for Christians necessarily, other than to remind you to keep the main thing the main thing. However, I do hope you are one of those saints who still loves to hear the old story of Jesus and his love. And as another hymn writer puts it, "For those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest." This series is primarily for unbelievers, people who have not trusted Christ as Savior yet, so they can hear and understand the gospel, hear and understand the man Jesus Christ, and be saved from sin and the punishment of sin, which is an eternal hell. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I promised you that I would give you a quote from Warren Wiersbe, the way he said it on yesterday, and it is a very good quote to me that deals with this subject, that sums up this subject very well. He said, "The average person is being crucified between two thieves, the regrets of yesterday and the worries of tomorrow. Consequently, he can't enjoy today," and there are many so-called believers who are that way today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, dealing with the subject, God will take care of you. If you were to ask any Christian, "Do you believe God will take care of you?" Most probably all would answer yes. Yet so many live with worry, anxiety, fear, and doubt. We say we believe God is in control, but we don't live like it. We are constantly shocked and dismayed at the happenings around us and in our lives. we disobey Jesus' command to take no thought. Don't you worry about it. God will take care of you. Some of you are going through marital problems, as we all do. Don't believe the Instagram accounts and the Facebook accounts, people lying and saying their marriages are perfect and wonderful and they look the part, always taking pictures on perpetual vacations, it seems. Don't you buy into their lies. One lady was doing that and calling, talking about her husband like he was a savior. And that same husband ended up killing her and their two children. Don't believe the hype. All marriages have issues, and all families have issues. There's not a perfect family on earth. But some of you are worried, you're fretting, instead of praying. I told someone this morning that if you pray without ceasing, God will give you peace of mind and joy of heart. But you need to pray without ceasing and read His holy word. It's very simple stuff. It's not hard, but it needs to be done. And many people find it hard to do. Day in and day out, we are concerned about food, clothing, our lives, our families, our children, worried, fretting. So what is the antidote to this all too common problem and fault? This all too common lack of faith in God, not believing that God will take care of you, even though if you would take inventory and take stock and just look back over the past 10 years, there were many days you thought you would never make it, but God took care of you. And God wants you to remember that, because that ought to encourage your faith. Some of you started out in college, you never thought you would finish. Look at you now, you have graduated, or you only have one more class. You've already marched. The same God who brought you through that is the same God who will see you through what you're going through right now. So Jesus' antidote involves taking a look at the world He has made. Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field. Here's another way from the Word of God you can encourage your heart. He says, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed or clothed like one of these. Amen, somebody. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Have faith in God, Jesus said. God will take care of you. Stop trying to do life yourself. Stop trying to be a big man or a big woman. Stop trying to handle your problems by yourself and give them to the Lord. He knows all about them. God will take care of you. Stop trying to fix stuff yourself. You need to retire from doing that. Dear sister, dear mother, dear grandmother, stop trying to fix your children. Stop trying to fix your husband. Stop trying to fix your marriage other than doing what you're supposed to do according to the Word of God. By the way, all marriage problems can be resolved if everybody in the family, and family problems as well can be resolved if everybody in the family would simply obey Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. So stop trying to work on somebody else and work on yourself. Stop worrying about stuff. And let God's will be done and not yours. Do you ever wonder if the sun will come up in the morning? Do you ever wonder if gravity will stop working? If the process that allows plants to generate oxygen so we can breathe will fail? Have you ever thought about that? Hopefully not. And many of you would say absolutely not. God designed that intricate process and it works every day. We don't question it. Whether we do so consciously or not, we depend on God to make the world work. We trust in God. We know that God is in control regarding those matters. It is in this very same manner that Jesus wants us to depend on Him for our daily needs. To trust in Him. To believe in Him. To pray with confidence to Him that everything is going to be all right. And understand that God will take care of you because God has taken care of you in the past. Has He not? God has showed up and showed out many times. This is why the old saints used to say, "Thank you, Lord, for the many and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us." And these were the old saints coming out of slavery and coming out of Jim Crow, and they didn't have anything. If the deacon didn't get to the church in the morning in the wintertime and heat up the church would have been cold with little gas heaters. They used to have testimony time in the old saints with one outfit to wear to church that they fixed up in different ways so nobody would know who walked to church. They didn't have a car in those days, many of them. And they would get up and give some of the greatest testimonies known to mankind. And the first thing they would say, "Giving honor to God, who is the, and to Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life." And they may mention a word about the pastor. And then they'll say, "We just thank God this morning for the many and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us." And if you don't have that kind of heart, if you don't have that kind of heart, now there's something wrong somewhere in your heart. If you're not grateful and thankful for God showing up and showing out for you multiple times, for many of us daily, weekly, monthly, God not only will take care of you, God has taken care of you. Can somebody say amen? Just think back. Stop being these little popcorn Christians who constantly say with words or not, what have you done, God, for me lately? God, why am I not married? You just graduated from college. Why don't you thank God for that? God, why don't I have a car like my sister does, like my girlfriends do? Why, God, don't I have a house? Why am I still renting? Well, you're only 24. Just hold on and be thankful for what you have. God, I went to college for this job and now I can't get that job. I'm doing something else. Be thankful for that job. Be thankful for what God has already done for you. And that's the quickest way that you can be confident that God will take care of you now. Look at the many days He's already taken care of you. Stop worrying and stop fretting when you know you have thousands of days that the God of heaven heard your prayers, heard your cry. Some of you were in a fetal position in a dark and black room. You had curtains up, but you covered the curtains up. You wanted it so dark. You were depressed, defeated, and disgusted. And you whispered a prayer, and a voice came to you, like the young white lady said in her best-selling, New York Times best-selling book, get up and wash your face. That was God who brought you through that. And then God helped you to get up and wash your face, and even take a shower, put some clothes on, snatch that dark graduation robe off the window, and gave you the strength to go to Starbucks and start working on a to-do list. God gave you the encouragement to work your way out of your depression. Then God sent somebody by, an old Christian friend, and they had the right word for you, and the right word is always, honey, I've already been through that. I know what you're going through. Do not talk to me unless you've been through something. I don't want to hear it. Don't pull out no book on me. You can't talk to me unless you've been through what I'm going through. Child, listen, man, I already been through that. You're going to be all right. That's what people who have gone through something want to hear. You're going to be all right. I've been through it myself. That's why the local church is important, because it is filled with people who've already been through. Paul talked about it, how that he was comforted so that he can comfort others. There's a saint out there who's been through exactly what you have gone through and what you're going through, and they can talk you out of it, because they already know the end from the beginning. And that's God sending you an angel by. I haven't seen this fellow in a long time. I forget his name. He won Most Valuable Idol, or Idol, the Top Idol, or whatever the name of the show is. Heavyset black guy from Alabama. I'm thinking about him because I have a pastor who was going through a difficult time, pastor friend who was going through a difficult time. And he called me one time and said, "Preacher, have you heard this song, I Need an Angel?" I said, "No, I think I have. Yeah." He said, man, that song brings tears to my eyes. As you know, I've been going through a difficult time. And this young man sung this song, "Lord, I Need an Angel." Well, God has sent you an angel by, in the form of a brother or sister in Christ who's already been through it, knows exactly what you're going through and knows exactly what to say. Can somebody say amen? You need to be thankful that God has not, God not only will take care of you, but God has taken care of you, my beloved. What are you talking about? God has seen you through. And he did all of that so that when you go through the next thing, you'll have more confidence and more faith in him. And you can pray with confidence, Lord, please deliver me from this. Lord, please help me to go through this. Because there are some things in life that God does not want you to be delivered from right now. He wants you to go through it so that you can learn how to comfort others and to help others. So, beloved, if we have committed to serving the Lord faithfully, there is no reason why we should doubt that he will take care of you. There's no reason why we should doubt that he would take care of your family, your church, your children, even your enemies. God will take care of them too. Because see, if you get your heart right with God and you become an obedient Christian, that does not mean you won't have any more enemies, but the Bible tells us that even your enemies will be at peace with you. Can somebody say amen? God will take care of you. Charles Spurgeon said, "It is a small matter whether we are tall or short, and yet all the worry in the world could not make us an inch taller. Why then do we give way to care and worry about things which we cannot alter, things that we cannot change? If fretting were of any use, it would have some excuse. But as it does no good, let us cease from worrying." End of quote. Amen, somebody. Today, people are so messed up from their sinful nature. We got black folks who want to be white, putting on lightening cream. You better make sure that cream does not make you vanish. Trying to be white. We have white folk. I was driving down the road the other day and just marveled at a sign that said there's a new place, some kind of tropical tanning place. I've never been in a tanning place. Well, I went in there one time just to mess with somebody. I gave them a gospel track and said, may I get a tan, please? They burst out laughing. White folks trying to be black. Some statistics came out the other day. You got a certain percentage of women wanting to be men today. That's a high number. I can't remember exactly, so I'm not going to mention it. And then we all know, sadly, there are some men who want to be women. And it's all quite disgusting. It's a slap in God's face. God made you one way, and here you are trying to change what you are. And you can wish it, you can worry about it, and you can fret all day long. You will always be a man, sir. And woman, you'll always be a woman in God's eyes and in the eyes of most people who have common sense. Stop worrying about things you can't change and accept the things as they are. Don't worry, not because there is nothing to worry about, but because you have faith that God can and will take care of you. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, Joseph Anstis wrote, O Lord, how happy should we be if we could cast our care on thee. If we from self and worry rest and feel at heart that one above in perfect wisdom, perfect love. If we from self and worry rest and feel at heart that one above in perfect wisdom, perfect love is working for our very best. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are full of worry and fear and fretting, may I lovingly encourage you to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shalt be saved. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's commandments, His Ten Commandments, and so have I. Have you ever lied before? That's breaking God's commandments. Have you ever stolen anything before? You have broken one of God's Ten Commandments. Have you ever lusted after a woman? If you are a man, if you are a woman, or material things, money, you've broken one of God's Ten Commandments. Coveting another man's wife, coveting another woman's husband, coveting their children, that is desiring something that does not belong to you, you're breaking God's Ten Commandments. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? You have broken God's commandments. We all have. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There is punishment for sin always. We all know that. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, because of sin there is always a punishment. And if you die without trusting Christ as Savior, you need to understand that hell awaits you. Hell is an awful place. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any of the other preachers in the Bible. And no doubt more than most preachers living today. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of torment and pain. and hell is forever. Hell is bad news, dear friend, but I have some good news for you. Straight from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same one who preached about hell, Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's right, the good news is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came down from heaven, sent by God to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. He was buried and rose again on the third day. And all you have to do is believe in him. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save your soul. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved." You don't have to send me any money to be saved. You don't have to give a dime to any church to be saved. You don't have to speak in tongues or some foreign unknown language to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. All of these things are good after you are saved. You don't have to do some good work right now to be saved. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Yes, saved from a purposeless, miserable life. Saved from the power of sin, but ultimately you're saved from hell and saved to heaven to be with God and Jesus Christ forever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And all you have to do is believe on Jesus Christ. He is the one. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. Join me in prayer right now. Repeat after me phrase by phrase. You might need a little help in this prayer as I did some 40 years ago. And trust Christ as Savior in your heart and pray and ask him to save you today, and he will save you. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I admit that I have sinned against you by breaking your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, including mine. I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you, Lord Jesus, for the rest of my life. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ today, that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop praying for you. Until next time, my beloved, which is tomorrow around the same time, same place, God loves you and we love you, and may God bless you.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.